adoption of the software as a service business model, revenue recognition became very difficult in the context of like technology companies. And there's been a ton of improvement in the way that we do that. And there's also been a ton of evolution in the, I want to say, way that you account for these things that has been just a phenomenal improvement in the lives of everybody on the accounting side of things.
This is Retained Learnings, a podcast where Canadian finance leaders share strategic advice and potential solutions to answer some of the finance department's most important questions. I'm your host, Rob Kazam, the founder and CEO of Float. Thanks for listening, and I hope you learned something from today's episode.
Hi, and welcome to season two of Retained Learnings. Today is a special episode because I'm interviewing Float's very own finance leader, Brendan White. Welcome to the show, Brendan.
Thanks, Rob. Really excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I'll start with a question I love asking. What got you into finance in the first place?
Money. Now, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to go into early on. So I was debating between engineering and finance. And then I got introduced to a nonprofit organization, Junior Achievement, and really enjoyed that process. So it helped me understand like finance was and business were areas that I was really interested in. I wasn't quite sure about finance and accounting, but when I got into that sort of degree program at Dalhousie, the language that they were using really just spoke to me. The mix of qualitative and quantitative, the use of that to like solve real world problems really resonated with me.
Were you always good with numbers, Brendan?
I wasn't good with numbers in an abstract context. I really needed something tangible to apply them to, something that like was meaningful. And money was something that I found as a very useful conduit to do that.
It must come in handy. How has the way finance teams work changed through the course of your career?
It is continuously improving in a way that just makes me incredibly happy. Back when I first started, we were using extremely manual processes. The cloud didn't exist at that point. And so all of your software for accounting was on your desktop. You had to reinstall it every year. And just like best practices weren't broadly accepted across various accounting functions. We've seen a massive improvement in the way that people leverage technology. We've seen a massive improvement in the way that people learn how to do things within the accounting context. And I think it's just getting better from here on out.
Is there an example of a finance or accounting process you saw at the beginning of your career that was really old, really traditional, really manual, and a specific way it's been automated?
Yeah, there's three that come to mind. The best one and the most frustrating one is obviously credit card accounting has been just the bane of my existence. And one of the reasons why I love Float, just the process of going through an Excel sheet and manually identifying like where this belongs, trying to track down receipts. In no world is that a valuable experience for anybody involved. The other two are really around like adoption of the software as a service business model. Revenue recognition became very difficult in the context of like technology companies. And there's been a ton of improvement in the way that we do that. And there's also been a ton of evolution in the, I want to say, way that you account for these things that has been just a phenomenal improvement in the lives of everybody on the accounting side of things. And then additional tools like NetSuite as an ERP have made things like consolidations a whole lot easier. And then from a financial operations, things are just completely different. There's no more manual processes. Everything can be automated if you're willing to invest the time.
Big change, I'm sure. You joined a really well-known Canadian startup, Ada, through a period of tremendous hypergrowth. What are some of the key lessons you took away from that experience?
The biggest lesson is that in order to keep your sanity and be successful in that company going through that kind of explosive growth, you have to be adaptable. You have to be like able to adapt to whatever the circumstances are. Ada is a great example of that because we were in hypergrowth when I joined, and hypergrowth is anything faster than, you know, 100% year over year. Within 9 months, the pandemic had started and we had no idea how it was going to impact our business. And then it turned out to be like a boom for the business. And so we had to adapt to that again. And then closer to the end of 2021, beginning of 2022, the market economics changed. And so we had to adapt to that. Biggest thing is like being able to compress your decision-making cycle, making sure that you're not solving the problem and the pain point that you have today, but understanding the problems and the pain that you're going to have in 6 months and making sure you have investments in the product and the team that you're going to need to solve those problems, because it takes forever to accomplish that kind of infrastructure change.
So when you joined Float, you shared what you wanted to focus on in your first 90 days with me. Can you share what those are with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. It really boiled down to four areas. First was deepen financial understanding, help everybody in the business broadly understand what is the situation that Float is in, how do we make money, how do we spend our money, what's the biggest return for the business. Focus the finance function. We're, you know, a relatively small startup, so we have a limited amount of bandwidth on the finance team. What's the most important things for us to focus on? What's the most value add things that we can return to the broader organization? Third piece was partner with the business. And so this came in two areas. One is develop, communicate, and then ultimately hold ourselves accountable to the financial strategy of the business. And then the second was executing on key initiatives. Finance is always going to be a key partner to the business. It's our job to help support and help everybody else execute on their mission to achieve our overall goals. And then the final piece is improve predictability. I come from a software as a service environment with annualized contracts that made everything very predictable. In a fintech environment where your demand is built every month, it can be a lot more unpredictable. It can be very seasonal. And so helping the business figure out how do we plan, how do we operate in that kind of environment.
You belong to a number of finance leadership communities. What are some of the hot topics on people's minds right now that you're seeing a lot of chatter about?
There's definitely three areas where there's a lot of discussion and a lot of knowledge sharing. The first being the market. Obviously, there's been a big shift in especially venture-backed organizations around what are we seeing in the market? What do investors really value in organizations? And what should we be doing to optimize our businesses if we exist in those types of organizations? Second is operational efficiency. It's no secret that, you know, over the last 2 years, there's been a premium placed on organizations that can grow revenue faster than costs. And so how do you do that? One of the ways is through consolidation. And how do we think about consolidating tech stacks across the organization as a way to save money on our software? How do we think about prioritizing our business and the people within our business to ensure that we're always focused on the most valuable things for the organization? And then the third is AI. This really goes back to operational efficiency. It's how do you leverage next generation technology to take your business to the next level, improve all aspects of your product journey? And then ultimately, how do you use these to do 10 times as much work as you could otherwise do with manual processes? And so a lot of chatter about this, especially because there's not a consensus. There's not a set of like best practices around these. It really does require a lot of thought and a lot of, I want to say, reevaluation of the priorities of most businesses to really come to a conclusion on what's the right thing to do moving forward.
What are some of your favorite features of Float, or what has Float enabled you to do that you weren't doing at Ada?
This has been just truly an amazing thing to walk into. I love Float for a lot of different reasons. I've been like candidly asking lots of different companies over the years to like help build this product because it's so transformative to the way I think about managing spend within an organization. I have way more control, way more visibility into the distributed spend of an organization. It moves me into a much more strategic role. I'm less concerned about figuring out who's spending what, what's on what card, tracking receipts, not worried about like making sure this stuff gets into the books at the end of the month. Candidly, it's just a totally different experience running a finance team with a tool like Float versus running it with a traditional bank corporate card.
Thanks for sharing. This was really great, Brendan. Let's end with a rapid fire round. So I'll ask a question, quick answers. What's your favorite tool other than Float?
Three productivity tools I'm using a lot right now. Superhuman, which is for email management, makes things a whole lot easier. Loom for asynchronous communication just really helps remove meetings and help you focus on getting work done when it suits you. And ChatGPT.
Who is a Canadian finance leader you admire?
I've got two here. John Ruffalo. He's just a tremendous leader within the community and the investor space. Somebody who gives a lot back to the community, is focused on helping build tech in Canada. I've had the opportunity to connect with him a few times, either through his involvement in programs that he's running or just to get advice. So really look up to him. And then Jeannie DeGuzman, who's the CFO at 1Password. I've had the opportunity to connect with her in the past too. And just like, they're killing it. They're a great example of what tech can be in Canada.
What's a crazy expense claim someone tried to put through at a company you've been at? Hopefully not at Float.
First one is I had somebody put through a Peloton on their expense report. I don't know exactly what was promised to them, but pretty quickly shut that down.
Was that the upfront cost or the monthly fee?
It's all of it. So you'd have not cheap. The second one was it was surprising. It ended up being like a legitimate expense. I just was like not prepared for it. It was a first class flight from Singapore to Canada, which was a lot more expensive than I would have imagined. Ultimately, it was the right decision, but it just was surprising to a CFP like that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for doing this, Brendan. This has been incredibly insightful. Very lucky and excited to have you on the team. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. This was a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for what the future of Float holds.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Retained Learnings. We want to reach as many Canadian finance professionals as possible. So if you have 2 minutes to spare, we'd love for you to rate and review the new show. Sharing on social media helps too, and you can tag @Flowcard. I'm Rob Kazam, and until next time, take care.